All right, let's start in the book of Luke tonight. We'll be in Luke chapter number 15, and we'll spend the majority of our time here. I will reference Matthew 28, but you probably have that chapter memorized, so you may not have to turn there. But we'll start in Luke chapter number 15 tonight as we continue in our series on church health. And just to remind you, as I've already reminded us already tonight, it's good to remind us all again. Sometimes we're like, well, the people are the church. Then we say, I just don't understand why the church is the way it is. You can't have it both ways. You can't use the people or the church as an excuse to get out of pressure and in a certain structure and then turn around and say, well, I don't understand why the church is struggling. And our church isn't struggling right now. I praise God for that. I don't want it to struggle. And how we continue moving forward is we stay spiritually healthy. And God may not have chosen you to serve in a certain capacity or asked you to do so, but that does not mean you're not important to the church. Does not mean you cannot help the church. You do help the church just by being spiritually healthy. So we're going to look at a different aspect of it tonight. And I can't remember how many weeks we've been in it, but it's been more than two. I know that. And so I don't know how many weeks we're going to continue to be in it, but it'll be more than two more. I can tell you that. But I've enjoyed this. I trust it's been a help to us. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Pharisees still do that today, by the way. Verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Tonight I'm going to look at this passage of Scripture. We're going to look at church health in those who are lost. Church health in those who are lost. That word lost can be, we can make a couple of applications with that. Tonight we'll kind of use them interchangeably just so you know. There are those who leave the fold. There are those who leave the fellowship of God. In no way am I going to insinuate that people who leave the things of God are not saved. It's possible they're not, just like it's possible that somebody who stays is not saved. But they are lost as far as from the fold. But the greater context tonight is lost, meaning not saved. Every individual is lost until they are saved by the grace of God. And we want to look at that tonight, church health in those who are lost. I'll say this and I'll pray, and then I'll say a lot more after I pray. You can tell a lot about the church health in their reference to the lost. And if we have to ignore the lost to have a big cathedral to meet in, I'd rather meet outside. Because it's not about the building, it's about the people. And I believe the more we reach people, the more God will expand our ability to meet together. But it's one of those things that we just got to keep focused on. Church health and those who are lost. Father, help us tonight as we continue looking at ways for us to stay healthy as your church. And certainly this is a vital, vital indicator of the health of a church. And may each one of us realize that we all have a part in this. May we do what we can to contribute in a good way to our church health. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've seen through the weeks, there are many ways a church can become unhealthy. And let me just say that I want to remind you, you can be healthy today and you can become unhealthy. You become unhealthy by unhealthy habits. The same is true when it comes to spiritual health. Sometimes a church can become unhealthy because of false doctrine. Sometimes it is because of division. We've looked at some of those things. Last week, we looked at when prayer becomes cold or spiritual passion fades. But there's another danger that it slips into the life of a church, and it's so subtle that many churches do not even realize that is happening. And that's a church slowly forgetting the lost. A church can get and have a burden for souls, and they can have a passion to reach people and to win families, preach the gospel, to see lives change. And when I say the church, I mean collectively, but also individually. And that is a desire, and that's a passion. But over time, if we're not careful, we become busy with ourselves. We need programs for us, and I'm not minimizing that. We need these things. Well, what fits with our schedule? And you can't change the purpose of the church according to our schedule. We should be changing our schedules according to the purpose of the church. There are traditions, and when I say tradition, I'm not talking about a Bible tradition, a Bible command. There are things that we get from religious traditions, and sometimes we let those keep us in line. I'll give you a good example. The fact that we're meeting on a Thursday night, because it was going to work better with what we're trying to do to reach our city, for us to have that Wednesday night open, and we're going to see more and more of that in the future. It was like, man, how are people going to respond? Almost in some cases, like, is he changing his Bible? I mean, moving from Wednesday nights to Thursday night, that's a big deal. We've always done it that way. And everybody else does that way. But you know what? It's a tradition. It's a tradition. Next week, we're going to meet on Tuesday night, so just go ahead and change your schedule. Our comfort. We become occupied with our comfort without meaning to. We become all about ourselves. The person who's become all about themselves, they don't know it in most cases. They don't even realize it half the time. And sometimes you got to stop and say, okay, say what you just said, but say it slowly and listen to it. Because it becomes about ourselves. As a church, if we're not careful, it will do the same thing. We become more concerned with keeping the 99 comfortable than finding the one that is missing. But a healthy church never forgets our purpose. It never forgets why we exist. We're not merely here just to gather saved people into a building. Well, it's like, Pastor, we filled up the building. I guess we're done. Oh, no, 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 no. It is not just about meeting the needs that we have. We have to be reminded that while we do have what I would say in this way, a complete program, we have classes for our children. We have a nursery tonight. We have a Sunday school program designed for young people. We have a youth group. We have a Christian school. We have all Bible college. We have all of these different things. We have activities for families. We have all of those things. All of those are good, but we have to be reminded while our homes and our needs are being met, there are still homes without hope. There are still children without love. There are still homes that are in crisis. There are still men and women bound by sin. There are still people who need the gospel. And let's just look at this practically and obviously tonight. And if the church isn't trying to reach them, who is going to reach them with the gospel? And that's why I emphasize so much with the political, keep the political realm where it's supposed to be. Because, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do, but there's only one institution called by God to deal with the soul of man. It's not the government's responsibility to deal with man's soul. It's incapable of it. By the way, that's why the church is a greater institution than the government. The pastor is a higher office than the president. Why? Because we deal with the souls of men. I have an outline for you tonight, and I'm just going to leave it like that and not tell you how many. But number one, a healthy church leaves lost people or sees lost people the way Jesus does. Luke 15 opens, the scene opens with the religious crowd, and they're not happy. I've learned this in my ministry, that when the religious crowd is not happy, you're probably right where you need to be. They were offended because sinners were near Jesus. But you know who was not offended? Jesus. He was glad they came. See, the Pharisees saw sinners as a problem because they did not measure up to themselves. But what they failed to see and was ultimately their downfall is they were not there for people to measure to them. We should be trying to measure to Christ. They saw the sinners as a problem. Jesus saw them as his mission. He did say, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission. And oftentimes we say as the church, we're about what Christ was about, not if you're not seeking sinners. So we got to reform the church. Jesus didn't come to reform the church. He came to save sinners. And then he called out a church built upon himself. And if it's built upon himself, it's the mission of the one with whom founded it and who's the cornerstone to reach sinners. See, this is if not the clearest, one of the clearest signs of church health. The healthy church sees lost people the way Jesus sees them. To him, they were not an inconvenience. They weren't a nuisance. They weren't a disruption. They weren't a hopeless case. And friend, let me just tell you, this building is full on Sunday morning. And the further more we continue pressing on, it's going to get fuller. It's going to get inconvenient. There's going to be adjustments that have to be made. But you have to remind yourself, why can't this happen? Just remind yourself that people are getting saved. It means if we have less room, it means that the gospel is doing what the gospel is designed to do. And it's like, that person came, they didn't know how to act in church. You know, it's a problem if everybody in church knows how to act in church. That means there's nobody new in church. Now, some of you that have been here 30 years, you can act a little bit better in church. I'll be okay with that. But they're not an inconvenience. He gives this story. The shepherd loses the sheep. He leaves the 99 to go get the one. There are some who don't realize they're arguing against what the Lord is teaching, saying, well, you neglect. They're needed. When Christ said, he used the illustration, how many of you, if it was a sheep, if it was a dumb animal, you'd leave the 99 in the fold to go find the one, knowing that that animal can't find their way back. Left out there to the predators. But yet, when it comes to a lost individual, the shepherd could not rest while one was still lost. This does not say the 99 did not matter. That's why you're in church tonight. You're here in a midweek Bible study. You're committed. You're in the middle of everything. Keep yourself healthy. Now, if you have a problem, your pastor is here to help you. But keep yourself where you need to be, so that the pastor can focus on those who are outside the fold. Does that make sense? Save your drama for your mom or whoever. Now, if you need your pastor, we go everywhere. We go in neighborhoods, communities. We go into our schools. We go into hospitals, nursing homes. That's a healthy church. Many churches, and this is where we have to guard ourselves, are unhealthy because they've become uncomfortable. If we continue, please hear me, if we continue trending the way we're trending and the direction we're going, God keeps blessing like he's blessing, we're going to be very uncomfortable on Sunday mornings. Very uncomfortable. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not coming back. Well, while you're here, you're going to hear tonight. So what does that mean? That means it's. Have you noticed on Sunday morning it takes longer to get through that foyer right there? And it's like, I can't ditch out the sides. Pastor's going to think I'm mad at him. I do. One of these days, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to walk out like I do, and I'm going to swing around to this door. I'm going to swing around to that door. No, seriously, it's like we're going to get uncomfortable. The schedule is going to have to be tweaked and changed along the way. But why do we do that? We're willing to do that because there's one out there. We have to leave our comfort to reach the lost. Number three, a healthy church understands that every soul matters. See, to most people, one sheep would not seem worth all that effort. But to the shepherd, that one mattered. This is an important teaching for you and us. And most of us are very familiar with Luke chapter 15. We're very familiar with this parable that Christ is teaching. But it's very, very important. He's reminding us that one soul matters. One person matters. If you've been coming to these Thursday night Bible studies since I've been in this series, you've heard me say it over and over again. You matter. You don't just matter to God because He saves you. You matter to His church. Well, why is that? Because everybody matters. But that one person matters. That one teenager, well, it's just a teenager. It doesn't matter if they come back. And I've been so proud of our teens, especially recently, because we've had some come from unsaved homes, and somebody brings them here, where they ride the bus or they ride with some of our other church members, and they include them. And those young people, those teenagers, have a lot of potential that come from these lost homes. And so it takes somebody to say, okay, well, this person might not be like me. They might come from a different home than me. But they matter. And I know some of you work on the bus and pick some up on the bus. And some of you bring them in your car. It's your neighbor's kids or whoever. I mean, I hope the parents know, but that's a whole other subject. But you get the point I'm making. Somebody's got to look at somebody else that needs the help and say, that person matters enough for me to drive 15 minutes out of my way to pick them up and to bring them. That person matters enough that I'm going to call them on Saturday and make sure they're coming on Saturday or some coming on Sunday. That person matters enough that I'm going to speak to them about their salvation. They matter enough that I'm going to talk to them about baptism. We got to decide that somebody matters. The 12 stones ministry, that's a lot of extra work. It's another night of commitment. But that one person struggling with that addiction, it matters. It matters. That one visitor matters. That's why we have a visitor here. We're not changing structure and policy and things of that nature, but you can be patient with a visitor. And ushers, you've been doing a great job with this, and that's the perfect time for me to remind you, if there's visitors and there's a Bible on the seat, that's not a deed. And if you're a church member and your Bible gets moved, and I haven't heard no complaining, and ushers have been doing a great job with this, everybody's been doing a great job with this. Choir, everybody. But that visitor takes priority. Because they don't know all the rules. You say, what rules are written? None. It's all the unwritten rules they don't know. They matter. They matter enough if they look like they're wondering, don't know where to go for you to stop. And this is just good practice anyway. And we do a good job of this too, but this is for everybody. So where's the nursery? Over yonder. No. We don't do over yonder. What do? We say, let me walk you over there and show you where the nursery is. Let me walk you. Let me introduce you to the person who oversees that. Let me show you to the person whose Sunday school class you would be in. So, Pastor, that takes time. Yeah, but that one person matters. It matters. You know, it's not going to be enough for somebody who knows they should be in church to be able to say, well, I didn't go back or I didn't stay because they were unfriendly. That's not going to be enough. But I certainly don't want to be any truth to it. We should work hard not being that stumbling block. They matter. Healthy churches remember that behind every number is a person. So, Pastor, why are we having these goals of people? And I don't get into numbers. Well, God does. You know what He gave us in His past? He didn't just say there was a flock. He said there was 99 and one left. God's very much in the numbers. So why do we have set a goal? Why? Because behind every number is a soul. Is a person. That not just God wants to save, and He does, but He wants to see them fulfill their purpose and potential in life for Him. He wants to see that. And we have to be reminded of that. Every person is that eternal soul. Even in this passage of Scripture, we're reminded that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I mentioned earlier that Brother Gray in Honduras this week, there's 100 people saved. I think heaven got excited about that. So they get excited all at one time? No, we got excited 100 times. Because if there had been one, that has still been just as big a celebration as there's 100. There are people that many of you have won the Christ this week, and it was just one person. But heaven rejoiced over that one person. Why? Because one matters. You know, we say it all the time, if there had just been one person, Jesus would have still come down and died for them. And that is true. But then we should act that way. When one person gets the gospel, when one person gets saved. And we as a church do. It's just a reminder for us to stay healthy. Number four, a healthy church makes soul winning everyone's responsibility. Now I'm going to lose everybody on this one, but no, we understand this. One of the great mistakes churches make, and it's a good time for, and it's good for us to always be reminded of this, is believing that reaching the lost is a job of a few people. That's the pastor's job. That's the staff's job. That's the missionary's job. But Jesus gave the Great Commission to the entire church. You can turn there if you want to. Matthew 28, we're very familiar with it. We spent a year in verse 19 and 20, what we call the Great Commission. We start in verse number 19, he says, go ye therefore. That command was not given to a select few. It was just the disciples that were there. No, I taught you this. It wasn't just the disciples that was there. There was a gathering of hundreds of people there. This was the early church. He gave it to the entire church. It was given to every believer. Even if it were the case and it was just the 12, he told them to go be witnesses and to teach them everything that he taught them, so therefore every believer is responsible for what he taught them. See, it's not given just to a select few, and every member of the church ought to ask, who am I praying for? Oh, Pastor, I can answer that. I'm praying for Brother so-and-so and Sister so-and-so. I'm glad you are, but in the context of a lost person, who are you praying for? We've got to get back and to having a prayer list, first of all, to praying. And if you need more on that, refer to last Thursday's Bible study. We got to get back to having the names of lost people on our prayer list. Well, I met so-and-so and he didn't get saved. Well, now you got somebody to pray for. Well, how long am I going to go back? How about keep going back until he either calls the cops on you or he gets saved? That's becoming a friend. Who am I witnessing to? Who am I inviting? Who am I burdened for? Do you know every church member can be burdened for the lost? See, a healthy church creates that atmosphere where everyone in the church understands, I have a responsibility to help reach the lost. Now, I've taught you this. I'm going to condense it very quickly tonight into one point. There, somebody may preach publicly. That's me. That's the Sunday school teacher. Some may witness one-on-one. Some invite their neighbor. Some may shoot a text or write a letter. We all should be praying. But everybody's involved doing something. This is why I mentioned a moment ago that the visitors take priority. That's part of winning them to Christ. Well, we should just depend on the power of the Spirit of God. Of course, you can't have salvation without the conviction of the Spirit of God. But a lot of times we're so rude that the Spirit of God doesn't have a chance. And so everything that we do is we have to think. And we say, Pastor, why are you reminded? Is something going? No. It's been great. But I want us to stay healthy. I want us to continue in that atmosphere so that all of us understand this is why we do what we do. This is why we give. We're not as worried about this over here because we want people to be able to be saved. Everybody has a part. You ladies in the nursery, be faithful. Continue to be faithful. And some more of it, quite frankly, we need more of you. You say, Pastor, when are we going to not need new nursery workers? When there's no babies? So you realize, say, well, I'd like to be in there where some of you need to be in here. I thought of this, and I probably shouldn't embarrass her. But Mrs. Triplett, every Sunday morning you're over there, right? That's by design. Anytime I can get her out of here, I just, no. So some of my Sunday morning series, I'd put into a book. And so right now, she's working on charity. Y'all remember that series? So I make the joke in the office. It's like, I really don't want a book, but Mrs. Triplett needs those sermons on charity. She was not in here. And so we're going to get a book out of it anyway. But the point I'm making is it's important for all of that environment. Healthy churches are not filled with spectators. At a sporting event, not everybody plays every position. Well, that was a great game. Well, you know, it's not just the quarterback, it's not just the coach, it's not just the water boy. It's the person who lined the field. It's the person who made sure it was clean. It's the person who made sure the lights are on. It's all of those things have a part in people being saved. And if we have that mindset of, well, the church is here to serve me, you will not find that in Scripture. The church will edify you. That's much different than serving you and making you happy. I'm not happy about that. So what? I'm the pastor, highest office in the church. If I was the pastor, I could be happy about everything. I'm the pastor, and I'm not happy about everything. Sometimes I hear someone say something like, what in the world? Who put that policy in? What idiot thought that they could just do something like that? Well, Pastor, you put that in 2 years ago. That's a good policy. We should keep that in there. The point I'm making, it's not about any of us. We know it's about Christ, but it's about us fulfilling our mission. And along the way, we will get edified. We will get helped. Number five, a healthy church does more than win souls, it makes disciples. Jesus did not merely say, go get decisions. And I've taught a lot of things dealing with this emerging church crowd, with this contemporary crowd. And don't fall prey to that. They get decisions. How many of you this morning are deciding to give your life to Christ? Well, who wouldn't say yes to that? Who in here is deciding to be a disciple? Well, I want to be his disciple. They gave their life to, here's your t-shirt. There's a little more to it to that. And I've taken the time through the years. I've taken the time to take almost an entire year to teach on every angle that I could possibly find in Scripture of the Great Commission. Not just the winning of the soul, but the fulfillment of the complete cycle of a new convert winning a soul. And then their convert winning a soul. It takes teaching these things. It takes an emphasis. Then laying out the different ways of Sunday school. All the things that we've emphasized. And now the Sunday school series of growth. There's a lot of reasons for that. Because we want souls to be saved. And we certainly, I'm not advocating tonight, well, somebody's passing through town and they'll never be able to be discipled here, so I don't want to give them the gospel. Well, that's not what's being said. If they can get saved and never and they never darken, they don't have a church, let's see them be saved. Well, if they don't come back, does it mean that they didn't get it? That's not what it means at all. You have a new convert, and the devil, as soon as they get saved, he knows he's lost their soul, but I got to get them now. And everything I can do to keep them, they still got that old flesh. They might have a renewed spirit, but they got the old flesh. That's why it's important, everything that I've already said, it's important for us to say, hey, I got to get them back. I got to walk alongside of them. But we don't just stop at salvation. We want to help people grow. The church is not only called to birth spiritual babies. The church is called to raise them too. See, if we're a healthy church, we're going to put ourselves in a position. This is the way, listen carefully. We want to put ourselves in a position for God to use us to birth a new child. And that God would let us be a part of that. What a wonderful thing. But after that, a healthy church helps new believers understand the Bible. And what I mean by that is that means they have it mastered. It's like, here's your degree in Bible. You're now an expert in Bible. There's nobody that's an expert in Bible. But to understand the basic concepts, to be able to say, what does this mean? How do I understand this? You want them to learn to pray. Overcome old habits. Develop spiritual disciplines. You know, if you have to have a spiritual discipline, I am going to be in my Sunday school class on Sunday morning. I am now going to give my Sunday to church. Somebody who just gets saved, you say, well, don't they know that Sunday is the Lord's Day? Well, it's never been the Lord's Day to them before. So they have to develop a spiritual discipline. I am going to do this. You know who helps them with that? We do. The church does. It's that spiritual discipline. That's why I'm not, if somebody gets in the habit of coming Sunday morning, that's typical Christianity, Sunday morning only. What's this Sunday night service stuff? I'm not afraid to ask, won't you come back on Sunday night? Well, they might not come. Well, they're already not coming. I've been really emphasizing our Sunday school teachers. Don't you be afraid to talk to your class, even if they're brand new, about giving to missions, giving to God, being at church. Don't you be afraid to talk to them about this. Somebody's got to help them. If they're never told what is right, they'll never know what is right. We want them to become faithful Christians. We want them to serve. The discussion with this last week with This week where I was with several other preachers. But we can't have this mindset of, well, when they get to be that perfect, mature Christian, we'll let them serve. If that's the case, we have a lot of slots. Sunday, we need somebody to fill. Now, there's some areas you need a little growth in. But everybody can serve. Everybody can be part and do something. You know, everybody, the announcement was already made. It's like, who can help serve tacos? Who can help at the bouncy house to make sure that while the kids are in there, you know, dad doesn't try to relive his glory days? No, sir, this isn't for you. You say, well, that's not important. That's very important. It's very important. See, our goal, please, and you understand, I can say this to us because we're on the same page with this. We're not just dedicated to just evangelism, it's discipleship as well. Now, you can take that pendulum and go all the way with it, and you don't see people saved. There are some people who get saved, they will never be discipled. So explain that. I don't have time to explain it. I can't explain it all. But I know we'll see them in heaven. And I believe that a lot of that has snuck into our churches over the last 10, 20 years. And because we let a few people criticize, because we see people saved and we don't see everybody discipled. Well, let me just stop there for a little bit. Then Jesus was a failure. And who here wants to sign their name to that? I'm not. Because we know he wasn't a failure. I mean, that passage escapes me as I stand here, but we know there was times when he's teaching everybody, he's like, you're going to leave me, 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 you're going to leave me. They didn't get discipled, or they gave it up. So understand what I'm saying. We want converts. Oh, we want to see them mature and grow. So a healthy church does more than win souls. And here's the thing. This is what I say to some people who criticize that. Well, how many of them got discipled? That's like, you know, you got to have a soul saved before you can disciple them. If you only have two in 20 years, you could probably get those two discipled. Because you've only seen two people saved in 20 years. I'd rather show up to the judgment seat of Christ seeing as many saved as I possibly can, and maybe some slip. Now, we ought to work hard not to let it slip through the cracks. You get the point I'm making? Number six, a healthy church refuses to lose its burden. This is a long point, but I'm going to summarize it. This world, let me just summarize it this way. A healthy church refuses to lose its burden. This world is getting worse and worse and worse. Things that 20 years ago, just for example, that were shocking to us that was in the mainstream. Let's be honest, you're used to it now, aren't you? Because we grow numb to it. Jacksonville has transformed. The buildings may be on every corner, but there's not a church on every corner. There's not a great gospel witnessing every part of our city like there once was. We've gotten used to that. A healthy church refuses to become accustomed to the fact that we just live in a lost and dying world. Pastor, there's no way we can, I know you say we got to reach our city, but there's no way we can reach the 1.7 million people or whatever it is now. There's no way. How about we try? We don't become accustomed to the fact that we live in this world that is turning from Christ. This is the last days. If we're not careful, while we acknowledge the last days, we acknowledge the decline of our nation, we acknowledge all of those things, we grow numb to the fact, we become accustomed to it, and we lose our burden for it. We have to see that, man, there's just more traffic. Look at all these neighborhoods. Do we still look as like, man, here's a new neighborhood? They've got my picture in that one that I can't go back in there because I've knocked on the door 772 times. You drive by, it's like they have no idea what's coming. It's their fault for building that neighborhood that close to our church. We got to maintain that. We can't just become accustomed to it. We have to keep our burden. A healthy church keeps that burden alive. Well, Pastor, we're out of room, but The room is not as big as the burden, so we have to be creative with the room. Our burden is not dictated by how many seats we have in our auditorium. It's not dictated by how many buildings we have on a property. Our burden is dictated by how many lost souls are among us. Healthy churches never get over that. And it's a prayer we should all often pray, Lord, keep our hearts tender, keep our hearts broken to a lost world. Remember before you got saved? It's good for us to be reminded that one day I wasn't saved. Well, you've been saved for a long time now. I know you're all cleaned up and sanctified and all of that, and you can talk about the doctrines of salvation, but there was a day when you were lost on your way to hell. May we remember that. May we be reminded of that. Now, your children are grown. They're saved. Aren't you thankful for that? If all your children are saved, you got to rejoice every day. But if we're not careful, we'll lose our burden because mine are saved. And I remember when all my children got saved, I was like, man, that's a burden off. But now that burden's back with my grandchildren. And they don't have good examples in their homes. I'm burdened by that. But I'm burdened for the little children that are in the room that they might be saved. See, Pastor, they go to the Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's just inevitable. Oh, if we take that for granted. See, we're not thinking about it. It's like, why don't we change our music just a little bit? Why don't we soften our separation just a little bit? Are these books really that bad? Well, anything that waters down salvation, say, or shifts us in a different direction, it affects. That's us keeping our burden. We can't move. We can't falter. We can't shift. We can't make any of those compromises. Why? Because there's others that need to be saved. And I'll just mention number 7 to you. A healthy church rejoices when souls are saved. Every service should not conclude with, oh, praise God, he's done. It's okay if you do that. But it shouldn't conclude with that. It'll be, praise God, another one got saved. Another one's getting baptized. Well, Pastor, there's nobody in the altar. Why are we singing another verse? Because there's some sitting on the front row with a Bible open in front of them. We wait with that anticipation. Why? Because a soul has been rescued. A life has been changed. Now a family has new hope. Eternity has been altered. A church still rejoices over souls of the healthy church. Likewise, a Christian that rejoices over souls is a healthy Christian. If it's boring to you that somebody, well, it's just somebody else got saved. If that's boring to you, it's time to do a little self-evaluation. And I'm not trying to scold us, because we get excited when people get saved. But it's easy when God blesses in a way, you see it over and over and over and over and over. But that person who just trusted Christ has a name, has a family, has a soul. We don't know what God's going to do with that life. But we know if they trust Christ, we know what transpires there. Let's stay excited. Let's stay motivated. My pastor's putting another goal. Double up Sunday. Don't you know how hard it is to double? Yeah, it's twice as hard as what you got. It's twice as many. You say, why did you do double Sunday? I wanted to do quattro Sunday, but I thought that'd be too much. He said, what if we don't hit it? Why don't we try? Why don't we try? If you've got 8, you can get the 16 that one Sunday. You can do it. You got 10, you have 20. Those of you in the victory class, we have 80 every week. Well, let me help you with that. It's 160. I don't know how we're going to do that. Yeah, everybody just bring one person. Well, I don't have any friends. Pay them. I need you to be my friend for one day so everybody knows. See, Pastor, it's just, if one day if we do that, what if none of them come back? They're not all going to come back. Our church isn't doubling like that overnight, but somebody's coming back. Somebody's getting saved because we have this goal we have to double, so I'm going to go. Somebody's getting saved on that day. It's weeks ahead, but I know somebody's getting saved. We'll be excited about that. If we don't do it, what's the pastor going to say? No, we have an opportunity to see somebody come to Christ. Hey, let's stay healthy. Emmanuel Baptist Church, in my opinion, from my estimation, from my view as the pastor, is a healthy church. I want to stay healthy. I want to get healthier. What happens when people get saved and they get added to the church and they still got to grow? Well, we've got to help them grow so the church stays healthy. And you've got to keep yourself where you need to be so the church stays healthy. I'll close with this. If the church health was solely determined by your spiritual health, how healthy would the church be? Say, Pastor, why did you end it on that? To make us think, to make us be accountable, not just to God, but to each other. We say, we need some accountability. Well, it's not the kind of accountability that people who say that want, but the accountability is, I have an accountability to keep myself right to the people I go to church with. I have an accountability to keep my spirit the way it should be. I don't feel like forgiving. Forgive anyway. Why? Because you have an accountability to your brothers and sisters in Christ. I have to keep myself right. Well, I don't want to get over it. Get over it anyway. Well, if I can get an explanation, you don't need an explanation. Just forgive. Move on. Acknowledge the fact that maybe you could be the possibility. Possibly you could be wrong. No, Pastor, you're stretching it there. I know it's possible. You get what I'm saying? It's more important for me to keep myself spiritually healthy for everybody. So let's not lose our compassion and burden for the lost. Father, help us to apply these things.